When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
One of the most amazing things that's happened in political history of the United States of America, or maybe any other country. John Nichols from the Capital Times with us and the nation. John, I wasn't following Italian politics when Silvio Berlusconi got elected, but were there a lot of people that thought that that could never happen?
Yep. No, I was just going to say, you're just being silly if you think it hasn't happened in another country. Back at the point where all the pundits, like all the smart people on TV, were saying, oh, Trump, he is going to trip on his tongue. He's going nowhere. This thing is not going to happen. Can't be the nominee. Can't be the president. All that stuff. My editor for my book editor out in New York, her name is Alessandra Bestaglia, you know, something like that. And she's from Italy. And so I got talking to her just casually. And she goes, oh, yeah, I've seen all this before. Berlusconi. You know, I mean, she nailed it. It was like the first week of Trump. She was on it. And do you know where I know, though, that we've gone full Berlusconi?
Full Berlusconi.
No, we are full Berlusconi. We should actually, you know, patent that term because it's going to be around with us for a while. I know that we are now full Berlusconi because I know that you mine for gold so I don't have to listen to stuff. But did you see the CNN thing with Ashley Banfield midday interviewing Trump's Tea Party spokeswoman? You know, the Trump's spokeswoman.
Oh, she's got a sketchy background. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's great. Perfect for Trump. Right. Okay. So she's on there, and you know what the subject of the segment was? No. If you guess this, I'll give you a dollar.
I'm not even going to try.
Yes, you are. You can't even get there. Okay, the subject of the segment, this is why we're full Berlusconi, was, is it okay for America to have a first lady who was a Maxim magazine model? And so the Trump spokeswoman was saying, oh, of course it's okay. She's a model for women. Not just a model, but a model. And she was an entrepreneur. Oh. You got to listen. It's only about a minute, but it may be. I'm thinking, you know, we're going to have to pick a segment that sums the year up.
Uh-huh.
And I believe this is in the top 10.
Okay. The one thing I want to clear is I am much too lazy to mine for gold. That takes heavy equipment. And I don't want black lung, okay? So that means I'd have to go into the West Virginia coal mines right now. I pan for gold.
Got it.
Yeah.
Totally hip. And you might not have gotten down into the Ashley Banfield silt.
Wow. You know, she's a Canadian, just so you know. Okay. So here's Donald Trump.
Okay. We won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated. We're the smartest people. We're the most loyal people. And you know what I really am happy about? Because I've been saying it for a long time. 46% with the Hispanics. 46%. Number one with Hispanics.
Has there been independent verification of that?
Well, I mean, you don't really have to have independent verification of that, right? It's an entrance poll. It came from the entrance poll to the Nevada caucuses, which, by the way, were complete, unmitigated chaos, right? And what it would suggest is that 8% of the people in a state with a very large Latino population came and voted in Republican caucuses. That's a pretty credible number. I mean, it's not shocking that would happen. And about half of them voted for Trump, a little under half of them voted for Trump. And that's also, I mean, it may be shocking if you're kind of, you know, looking at it from, I don't know, the reality-based world. But, you know, in the Trump world, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that doesn't shock me. But here's what I would build the council I'd give you. 8% of Republican caucus turnout, and then you had to take a little under half of that. You aren't really talking about a lot of people. You know what I mean? It's not like that's, you know, tens of thousands or something.
So there are Hispanic people in Nevada that are cool with a guy that's going to knock on the door and throw people out of the country that have been law-abiding citizens here for years.
It'd be another part of the Hispanic community, perhaps. It seems absurd. I could not agree with you more. But
are you sure that this is a dream? Like, I'm not really having a conversation with you.
Hey, no, come on, you got to grow up, brother. I went to a David Duke rally in Baton Rouge, Alabama, back in 19
Louisiana,
I believe. Louisiana? Did I say Louisiana?
You said Alabama.
Oh, totally wrong. I apologize. I went to a David Duke rally in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in I think 1991. And there's like 4,000 people at this, you know, arena cheering on David Duke, who's really about as bad as you can get in American politics. And there in the middle of it was this African-American couple. Well, I, of course, went to interview them. You know, it's like the first people I want to talk to. And they were down with it.
Really? Wow. How were they being treated by the other people there at the rally?
Really well. Oh, well. Really well. Because, of course, you know, people who may not be the most welcoming in general adore it if somebody who they're not all that welcoming to shows up and tells them they're right.
Sure, right.
Yeah, so it's not, they were treated, it seems tolerable.
Here is something that's another thing that's almost inconceivable.
But I think we're really doing well. It looks like we're in a great trend, and we have tremendous support, and we have amazing people in this country. And one of the most amazing people in the whole country is our great friend, Pat. Will you come out here, Pat? Look at him. One of the great people.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you.
Man, it's good to have you here with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You inspire us all.
I believe that was Donald Trump introducing Pat Robertson at Regent University.
No, really? Pat Robertson?
Uh-huh.
On board, hey? Well, Jerry Falwell Jr. is on board.
Yeah.
All the you know, kind of really... Well, let's just put this way. I was thinking of a way to sum it up. All the really powerful religious leaders who happen to have Junior...
Well, all right. What are the chances that Donald Trump really thinks that Pat Robertson is an amazing person? I mean,
I think Pat Robertson's an amazing person. No doubt about it. Remember, like, he's always, like, falling down the flags of locusts. I mean, he's a pretty interesting guy. But anyway, he's amazing, I would say.
All right. Here is, last night... Nicole Wallace said this on MSNBC, and I thought it was kind of interesting.
Well, I'm amused by all of the consternation about why Cruz and Rubio don't go after Trump. And Stuart Stevens is a dear friend of mine. We've been on campaigns together. And the reason that people like Stuart and I would suggest a strategy like going after an opponent like John Kerry in 2004 would be to throw them off balance, to get them to say something like, oh, I was for that war before I was against it. Donald Trump's entire candidacy has been waged badly off balance. You would attack someone like Donald Trump to get him to, you know, I don't know, appear intemperate. He never appears restrained. So the whole purpose of going after Donald Trump, and others have tried it. Jeb Bush made attacks about him not being a conservative. It washed right over his supporters. They couldn't care less. In fact, some people found it appealing that he'd govern as a pragmatist. You might go after Donald Trump to get him to do something like grab a third rail, like say, I don't know, embrace a mandate when it comes to health. He does that on his own. He does it unprompted. You might, you know, try to get under his skin like someone like Megyn Kelly does, but he sort of lives in that state of agitation. And the challenge of going after someone like him is what else could he do? Who else could he insult? And to what end? I think that people are attracted to him despite all of his warts, despite all of his weaknesses. And the reason Cruz and Rubio won't go after him, according to those campaigns, is that they don't need his voters. They don't need his supporters. They need each other's. And that is the, you know, I don't know if it's an ugly truth, but that is the reality of the state of the Republican race tonight.
Your thoughts on what she just said?
If you're talking about somebody needing Cruz voters, it's an ugly truth. No doubt about that. About as ugly a truth as you could get. But, you know, she's about one-third, right?
Paul from AMS with us on the Big FM 93.7.
We are having an inventory clearance sale. And we've had some people come in and take excellent advantage of that. And we've got lots and lots of really good equipment left, too.
So your location?
Right near the corner of PD and Verona Road on the southwest side of Madison. You can call us at 608-274-7400, amsmadison.com, or you can even like us on Facebook.
Sounds great. Paul from AMS.
Issues as we would on any given day, but I think what happened yesterday is so cataclysmic that it's worthy of further discussions. All right, respond to Nicole Wallace's theory that the Donald Trump lives in such a special place that attacking him is not a good way to catapult over him.
Okay, yeah, here's why I say she's about a third right. I mean, it's true that Trump, you know, I don't think you're going to throw him off his game by attacking him. You know, what are you going to say? He's like, he doesn't have the temperament to be president? Or, you know, maybe you should worry about whether this guy might be in control of thermonuclear weapons. But, you know, with that said, even if there was a chance that, you know, there might be some attack that would throw him off his game, that's not what she's arguing. She's basically saying, you're not going after his votes, Cruz and Rubio. Rubio, it's now referred to. Rubio are going after each other's votes, right? Well, I don't know much about math, Slime, but if you're adding 24 to 20 against a guy who's getting, you know, he's already in the mid-40s and appears to be heading upwards, unless you're assuming that, say, like, every Cruz vote would go to Rubio, which, by the way, would absolutely not happen, or that every Rubio vote would go to Cruz, which, again, would absolutely not happen, this idea that they're somehow fighting for each other's votes is absolutely absurd. Now, they may think that's what they're doing, but really, with all due respect, what they're really doing is something else altogether. They're just trying to keep their heads above water long enough to be the last one in the race. I mean, you shouldn't be talking about Rubio and Cruz, who are frankly ridiculous people. I mean, look at Kasich, right? Where's Kasich? What's he doing? He got 4% in Nevada? And he saw a strong enough level of support to remain in the race. Why? Not because of the support he got, not because he's thinking he's going to get Cruz's votes or something like that. He simply going to try and stay in and be the last man standing against Trump. Because this is now developing, Sly, into a 1964 scenario. In 1964, ooh, when Barry Goldwater was dominating the Republican Party, right? What did they do? Well, first off, up in New Hampshire, they did a big write-in for Henry Cabot Lodge, and he beat Goldwater and Rockefeller, everybody else. And they're all like, oh, my gosh, so here's our great hope. And then Lodge, it didn't pan out. So then there was actually a big push in Oregon. They're like, well, let's write in Richard Nixon. And that didn't pan out. And then finally Rockefeller had a great big battle with Goldwater in California, and that didn't work out. And so all these guys are out of there. And then, I swear, I'm not making this up, like a month or so before the convention, Governor Scranton from Pennsylvania gets in the race, and he's going to travel around the country and just talk to delegates and say, well, Goldwater can't win. He's going to literally lose 61% of the vote, so switch to me. And that didn't work. And I think that's where we're at now. I mean, These guys are gonna stay in. They're gonna try and imagine that somehow they're gonna be the one. And you know, they're all gonna end up like, you know, William Scranton.
Well, you know, it appears that way. I've been really bad at predicting this year. I asked my listeners how the Trump saga ends, and I would say three quarters of them said it ends with him in the presidency. I don't know whether that's going to happen. I think that has yet to be determined. Some of it depends.
It will happen if the Democrats continue to be the Democratic Party that they've been for a long time.
Well, demographically. You know, I admit the sentiment of the country is not with the way the Democratic Party has been operating, and they've been just atrocious. And you know, you've seen the turnout numbers not particularly good this year. But
no.
But demographically, is it really possible for someone as unpopular as Trump is, and if you look at his negatives, they're really high, to get elected the presidency?
Here's the answer to your question. We don't elect the national president of the United States.
So. I understand that.
We haven't elected Republicans.
Colorado and Virginia and Florida and Ohio. North Carolina all make the difference.
Oh, you're such a sweetie. It's so nice to talk to you. It makes me feel good.
All right, don't be condescending.
If Donald Trump puts Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan into play with a heavy-duty appeal on trade policy and deindustrialization, and the Democrats do not have an incredibly smart, believable, highly credible economic plan, an economic response that combines with a top-tier, best-ever mobilization of people of color, younger women, young people in general, as well as, you know, stone cold progressives and left trade unionists. If they don't do that, and they don't do that exactly right, and they lose Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan, and Indiana, Colorado, that's a nice thing to talk about.
It's interesting you're saying that, because you know there are Republicans that believe the Republicans are going to get slaughtered if Donald Trump is the nominee.
Well, and they may be right, you know. But you understand that this is in play right now. It's all about the quality of what you do. Donald Trump is running two races. His first race was against the smartest people in the Republican Party, right? The ones who are up front, the ones who are a little bit back. The Kyle Rove's a little bit back, but all the other consultants up front running all these different candidates. He took them all on, smartest people in the party, all the structuralists, all the serious campaign strategists, all the big money people. And it looks, not over yet, things are still in play, but it looks like he may well beat them all. Then he's going to run a second campaign against the smartest people in the Democratic Party. And unless you really believe that somehow the hacks who run the Republican Party are dramatically dumber than the hacks who run the Democratic Party, then you have to believe in the possibility, the very frightening possibility, that Donald Trump could do it again.
Well, now, that's interesting. Are you essentially saying that if the Democrats nominate Hillary Clinton, they're going to lose or stand a better chance of losing?
I would tell you right now that Hillary Clinton, as she's currently running, as she's running against Bernie Sanders at this point, I don't think she's doing what is necessary to close that deal. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's maybe a little unsettling on the other side. I'm not sure Sanders is doing what's necessary either. I'm very blunt about this. I've spent a cover story in the nation this week. I've talked to a lot of people across the country. And the fact of the matter is, I like Sanders' economics, you know. But I'll tell you, if this plays the way it does, and it's Trump versus a Democrat, whoever that Democrat is, it's not going to just be our populism is better than your populism, okay? that's not going to be enough. There's going to have to be more than that. And so Democrats have to smart up their strategy. It has to be economically populist. It has to be believably, credibly progressive on income inequality, job creation, trade policy, redistribution of the wealth to the people, not to the elites. That all has to be real. But it also has to be profoundly connected, smartly connected to communities of color, or people of color, to the LGBT community, to younger women, to a host of other people. There has to be massive mobilization within the trade union movement. There also has to be massive mobilization within traditional civil rights communities. I mean, this is an everybody to the barricades situation, and it's got to be bigger and smarter than what we've seen so far.
All right.
And that's not to put anybody down. It's just that it is a big deal.
John Nichols from the Capital Times. Thanks for coming on today, brother.
Pleasure to
appreciate
be
it. Ooh, these are scary times, aren't they? All right, stand by.
The Drive Home with Sly is on the Voice of the Region, WBGR-FM, Monroe, Freeport, Madison, WBEL-AM, South Beloit, Janesville, Beloit.
Now the news from Monroe Clinic's newsroom. The news is brought to you by Dwayne Zimmerman and Kyle Knoll from the Auto Clinic of Monroe, specializing in repairs on domestic and foreign cars and light trucks, including oil changes, engine and transmission service and repair, brakes, shocks, exhaust, and AC service. Located across from the Swiss Colony main office in Monroe, the Auto Clinic of Monroe, call 325-7700. A man killed in a farm accident yesterday on Mann Road west of Winslow has been identified. Stevenson County authorities identified the man as 53-year-old Edgar Simpson. Authorities say Simpson died after being pinned under a tractor. Stevenson County deputies were called to investigate the farm accident just before 5 p.m. yesterday. Four men are facing charges after a Wisconsin Department of Justice investigation determined they had sexual contact with an underage girl from Belleville. 33-year-old Dustin Weber of New Glarus is charged with three counts of sexual assault of a child, two counts of child enticement, and one count of making threats. He's scheduled to appear in Greene County Court March 9th for a preliminary hearing. 24-year-old William Viney of Monticello is charged with three counts of second-degree sexual assault of a child and one count of child enticement. Viney is scheduled to appear in Greene County Court March 8th for a preliminary hearing. 26-year-old Eric Wade of Belleville is charged with three counts of second-degree sexual assault of a child and three counts of child enticement. Wade is scheduled to appear in Greene County Court March 9th for a preliminary hearing. And 22-year-old Jonathan Sutherland is charged with one count of second-degree sexual assault of a child and one count of child enticement. Sutherland is scheduled to appear in Greene County Court March 9th for a preliminary hearing. Court records indicate the incidents took place between August of 2014 and May of last year at various locations. The Monroe School Board will move forward with a survey this spring to gauge community support for a possible fall referendum. School district administrators have been working with School Perceptions, an educational research firm, to develop and conduct the survey. The firm will be drafting the survey next week and expect it to begin April 18th. Monroe School District residents will have until May 4th to submit their answers. School district officials say the board will decide in June whether it will go to referendum after School Perceptions presents the survey results. The survey will cost about $8,400. School board officials say they're hoping to get outside financial support to help pay for some of the cost. The news was brought to you by Dwayne Zimmerman and Kyle Knoll from the Auto Clinic of Monroe. Located across from the Swiss Colony main office in Monroe, the Auto Clinic of Monroe, call 325-7700. From Monroe Clinic's newsroom with news 7 days a week, 365 days a year, I'm Brian Gray.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.